We're learning Nachas Yosef on Megillas Rus with Nachas Yosef, as we do every year on Shavuos. We're holding here in the first perek in Pasuk Tzayin, and until now, what has happened is Naomi had gone off to Moab. She was from a royal family. She was from the royal family. Eventually, this would become the family of David HaMelech. They're leaving Eretz Yisrael in a hard time and going off to Moab, the archenemy of Klal Yisrael, made a tremendously negative impact, very, very demoralizing. Her husband died. Her children intermarried with Moabiot. And it really was a family that was had gone down to the very, very pits. Assimilated, traitor, turned it back to Klal Yisrael, and so on. We now are at the point where they begin the journey back. And there are two journeys. There's a journey of Naomi and a journey of Rus. And both of them, we're going to see insights in Chazal as to what the journey entailed, the direction, and so on. So in Pasuk Tzayin, Rus says, "Atomer Rus al tifki vila azvech, stop pushing me to leave you. Lo shemachrayech ki shal telche elech, wherever you go, I'll go. V'kshatlin olin, wherever you stay, I'll stay. Amech ami, your nation is my nation. V'lekayech lekoyin, your God is my God." So this is a turning point where Rus begins to move forward towards becoming a Jewess. So, at this point, instead of discouraging her, Naomi begins to teach her about Judaism. Mekan ve'elech yesh edvareh tochen chadash. Naomi maschila lahachinaisa lechayeh chadash nas v'ashchina. Naomi begins to prepare her for her new life as a member of Klal Yisrael, as being under the wings of the Shechina, upareses lefaneh sagdorim vasyogim shemamida teres Yisrael lefnei Adam, and she lays down before her all the different rules, regulations that Torah demands a person, and Rus answers everything that she's willing and she's ready to do it. So let's see how Chazal interpret the order of the things that she was told. Now, the truth is, all of these, the different points, whether Bashatel Chelech and so on, we learn halachas of what you're supposed to tell a ger, and this is really the parasha that it tells us a lot about how we deal with a ger and what we teach him and so on. Let's see what Chazal say. The very, very first thing she tells us, Balash Chazal, Kivim Sheshama Naomi Kain, once Naomi heard her resolute words that she's staying on, ischilos sederes lefaneh hilchas gerim. She started teaching her hilchas gerim. Amrala, she told her, "Biti, my daughter, ein darkan shel bnei Yisrael leilach abote teatrois or abote karkesoy shalakum." It's not appropriate for Jewish daughters to go to theaters and circuses. Amrala, she told her, "Elasha tel chelech, wherever you go, that's where I go." So Nachsosif points out, "V'nifla dava shalafi biuram maschila Naomi hilchas gerim lo migufa Torah mitayg mitzvus esiv lo saseh." She doesn't teach her any aspects of Torah itself. Elakil min atzad, it's sort of telling me some other point, like something that's really in the periphery, sort of in the gray area of appropriate and inappropriate. Miminia salichos lebate tetras kersoes, that she shouldn't go to theaters and circuses. Obviously, Chazal felt that this is a very, very important prerequisite for being Kabbal Machshamayim. You ask yourself, Kulahai Ketzat? Really? Why is it? So Nach Yosef says, Chazal tells us that many times Divrei Torah are short in explanation in one area, and they make up for another. In other words, a lot of times in the context of one Chazal, you can't understand it fully without looking at different places where Chazal deal with it. And this is one area where if you add in another Chazal, as to what is schok about, and we'll be able to get a fuller picture. Begemar nikram kol batei schok halolu moshev leitzim. All of these different types of entertainment places are called a moshev leitzim. Shalem akasasa, the very first passing tome says of a moshev leitzim la yotzshav yintashem chafta. It says asher is fortunate the person holach batzaser shoyim of derech haterem lo omad of moshev leitzim la yotzshav. Fortunate the person who didn't walk down the road of the wicked, didn't stand in the path of the bad, and did not sit in the moshev leitzim. Kimetaras hashem chafta, rather he sought out Torah. The pasuk makes it clear, in other words, by contrasting, saying not Moshe Leitzim but Torah Hashem, it's clear that it's the opposite of it. Now, let's stop a minute and let's talk about a point that's in this words of Moshe Leitzim. It's a point that doesn't emphasize, but rather he goes on to a secondary point. I'd like to stop first on the concept of Moshe Leitzim and understand it. Litzanes is something which Chazal treat very harshly, and they speak about the people that Mekal Bnei Shechinah, Kat Litzanim, and so on. Very, very, very strong words about Litzanes. People tend to translate Leitzanes as something along the lines of humorous, or something like that, which is not an appropriate translation. That's not the right translation for Leitzanes. Leitzanes is much better translated as cynicism, mockery. It's the use of absurdity to destroy ideas, to destroy ideals and ideas. It's a person who wants to debunk something. You can do it with a logical back and forth, and you can do it much more effectively with cynicism. Cynicism, what it purports to do is not to argue with the point, but to give it absolutely no merit. What I do is I sort of point out how absurd it is. And when something's laughable, means that it's not at all it's not at all something that deserves any type of merits, any type of attention. Some of the earliest works in the times when there was a general rebellion against authority, the church, religion, and things like that, was satire. Voltaire, for instance, his bitter satire, was very destructive, because arguments, by their nature, by the fact that it needs to be argued, lends some measure of credence to the other side. Satire, by pointing out or purporting to point out the absurdity, tells me the other side, the other points are simply not even entertainable. It was a lot more destructive than many types of weighty arguments, because there's something about it that simply destroys the other side. And therefore, Litzanes is such a bad and destructive mode of countering something. Sometimes you find a child, for instance, a child that's not successful at something, has a few, he's in school and he's not successful. So he has a few ways of dealing with it. Dealing with it. One is he simply gets depressed. A second way is he attacks it. He gets angry and he is in a certain sense destructive. But a third way is he makes fun of it. And when you make fun of it, it's basically the state, you are destroying it much more effectively than if you kick or shove or do anything like that, because you're simply showing up that it's nothing. The Chazal did give us the option of Litzanis does have a place, like everything else in the world. Nothing was created for naught, and Litzanis has a place. Chazal say, Kol Litzanis Asura Bar Melitzanis Avodah Zarah. All Litzanis is Asur, except for Avodah Zarah. The reason is because Avodah Zarah is something that really is insubstantial. It really does not have a metzias. That's Avodah Zarah. And therefore, the only appropriate way to deal with Avodah Zarah is not to argue the pros and cons of the idol. It's to show it that it's totally absurd. So for Avodah Zarah, it's good. It's also good, perhaps, for things that really have no place. So if a person, wealth, accumulation of wealth as such, if a person understands that it's absurd, then it sort of deflates it totally. But a meaningless accumulation of wealth or something like that. But by and large, the person's use of litzanis or cynicism to get out of a tight spot to destroy obligation. If you think about it, and let's understand it at its most fundamental level, religion demands seriousness. In other words, there are things in the world that are extremely serious. That's what it's based on. And that's the first step I need to say to myself. There are things that are extremely important and very, very serious, and I have to take them seriously. Then next question is what? But if I'm not taking something seriously, that is litzanis. Then there's nothing to build on. It's like it's building on a swamp, because it'll just sink through. So she told her the theaters were used as ways to mock Judaism, other things. And Chazal bring Chazal sketch different things that they acted out in these Batei Tishrei that made fun of the Jews' Shabbos and Shemitah and so on. And this was a lot more destructive than arguments. It's just like if you have a comedian on TV and he can take an entire position of somebody who thought out something, and by making some silly face, it sort of makes the whole thing naught. And you say to yourself, wow, look at that. One person put down a very reasoned argument, research and so on. The other makes some silly face and everybody just laughs and that's the end of it. That's very, very, that's an extraordinary power. And she told her, as long as you're not free of that, you can't move forward. That's one aspect of the Leitzim. There's a second aspect. This is the aspect that he talks about, the Nachs also describes. The thing that becomes clear to us from this pasuk is that Torah and Moshe of Leitzim are in opposition. So he says, well, Torah is a way of life. It's a whole picture. So Moshe of Leitzim also seems to be a some sort of shita. It would be lacking in it being parallel. But it says that the Nachash was Leitzim. Bevadei says she divrei asosa she potach nosha Hashem she poina shkof sfuna hashkofim usiemes. So obviously the Nochash had some ideology. Afshin here alone. So he says he interprets the word of litzanis as meaning something. The litzanis was a type of ideology, which I guess we call it Litzanis simply because it's a mockery of real ideology. It's a counter-ideology. Now let's speak a little bit about this and let's understand the point that he's making. We tend to think of Judaism as observance of a lot of different obligations, prohibitions. This Hechshah, that Hechshah, this Melachah Shabbos, that Melachah Shabbos. And that's sort of the way we look at it. That's something which is reducing it to a very, very, it's a shell of what it really is. The real Judaism is a whole picture of what life is, what life ought to be, values. It's an entire world. The opposite of that is Bata Titra Sarsaka Sars. In theater, there's in what the world sees as its counter to religion would be the world, the whole the entire scope of life as portrayed best in theater. It's a picture, it's culture, arts, and all of that is the world of the non-Jew. And as long as we're submerged in that world, then Judaism is really, really just a bunch of do's and don'ts, which is a shell of what it really is, and also has no staying power. We can't live one life and impose on it all sorts of yeses and nos that really are irrelevant to it. I want to draw a parallel to something today, and it's something that is it's pervasive. We have, for instance, let's take sports. So people doing sports, people exercising, running, doing things that they need to do to keep healthy is definitely very positive, and should be encouraged. It's right. Spectator sports, where you take your kids to a ball game. In America, it's something. There are not that many places you can go to relax, and you know, it's something that probably is better than the alternative. But when we cross over that line of entering a world of sports, the sports world, where we have heroes and we have great moments and we have volumes and volumes and volumes of newspapers, articles, journals, magazines, forget about the digital age, just completely dedicated and devoted to the world of sports. That's a world. And if a person is a citizen of that world, then Yiddishkeit is meaningless, really. And a person can't be a Yid in the full sense of the word if he's living in a world that has gedolim and has Torahs and has everything completely not shaykh to life, to Torah. It's a whole world of meaningless stuff. But whatever it is, it's not Torah. And that's what she said. The gateway to Yiddishkeit lies to living a life, a world of Yiddishkeit. And so long as you are a citizen of the other world, so long as the life as portrayed in the theater is your life, there's nothing to talk about. Then Judaism is simply imposing practices. It's not becoming a life that you're part of that world. That's the understanding of Bat Yosef. So the first thing she needed to and Kshabon Nomi Lehadrich es Rus Berderech Yadus, when Nomi came to direct Rus on her path to Judaism, Srichois Lavatl Tchila Klaesajus Sagum Shay Balibo Yushimov, she needed first to erase all of the all of foundations that she had built up living in Moav. And Naomi's first words to us were, "Biti, my daughter, teidi lachon, understand." She called tfisas achayim shrentzer and sagoyim. We have a very different take on life. Jewish daughters don't look for beauty and truth and good in theaters and entertainment houses. By our look, it's false and absolutely empty. This is the take on the pasuk of Asher Isha Shalhalach of Mashlez Neotzav, Itasem Chavtsoy. If you need to break away from Tetrasakis souls to enter the world of Torah, Yeshlanu Derech Achasotashma, we have one road and that's Torah. Rakim Ifalas Magdachayim, only she paves out the path of life. Rakim Mechanechas Adam Tovlon, and only she is able to develop a person to reach his best. Okay. Now we have the next one. The we now have Naomi coming back. Now it says they both walked together, they both went together till they came to Beis Lechem. As they entered Beis Lechem, the city was in uproar. And they said, Hazos Naomi, is this Naomi? They couldn't believe that this woman was the queen of Israel in every way possible. She was the most aristocratic woman from the best family and a person of great stature. And she's coming back, a beggar woman, in tatters and in shreds, with a very difficult burden of guilt of everything she's gone through. But Tomalem, she told him, "Alti krenali Naomi, don't call me Naomi, which means sweet. Krenali Mara, call me the bitter one. Ki heima shakai li ma'oid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been very bitter to me. Ani malea halachti, I left full, v'reka meshivani Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned me an empty person. Lomo te krenali Naomi, why would you call me Naomi? B'Hashem onabi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has inflicted me. V'shaka herli, and God has done bad to me." Those are the words of Naomi as she's coming back. So, let's look at his pirush now. Vateim kolei aleim al shtehem. The city was in opera on both of them. In other words, both of them shocked the city. Shtei anoshim oyer b'chazan chazdol. Both of them created tremendous tumult. Kol achas b'chinasa he, each one for its own reasons. Rus is coming, made an extraordinary impression. He says, in our times, we would, this was about over 100 years of when the Ger Tzedek lived in Vilna. The Ger Tzedek lived at the end of the 1700s, and he was writing it, he was in the early 1900s. And his name was held in tremendous awe. The Ger Tzedek in Vilna was a son of nobility, converted to Judaism, and was burned at stake. V'nekalon l'shayas, he says, so this was, people were in awe that somebody who came from what seemed to be the most prestigious, wealthy, established, non-Jewish families, threw everything away and paid the ultimate price to be Jewish. We can imagine how influential was the events. Shabbas Melech Moav Shlichach Gava, Kol Chamudas Evra, the daughter of Melech Moav threw everything away. And she left all to become Jewish at a time when Klal Yisrael was really not doing well. Because she came to recognize the sanctity of a Jewish family, and the mother and the heights of a mother of family, which is Naomi. Rus infused a new inspiration in Yisrael. In a certain sense, it helped. It was a counterweight to the Melech's running off. And as Chazal said, let Rus come, who was loyal to her mother-in-law, and let her rebuke Klal Yisrael, who were not loyal to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that was the excitement of Rus. Take a look. It reaffirms the emes that we know to be true by the fact that somebody's willing to go to such lengths to do it. It was very different the excitement when Naomi came back. The Megillah puts it in a few pithy words. Vatomarna, they said, Hazos Naomi? Is this Naomi? Iov Sheni bidmus Ishov v'chutzis lechem. She was a second Iov who was walking through the streets of Eslechem. Ve'ein kol pe yochel aviyah es nachshal agoshes ashezeveh. And no one could give words to all the mixed feelings that overwhelm people. Ve'habriya sofos ba, people were looking at her. B'mabat ilam nudroish, with a speechless look and shaking their heads. They could only utter one word. Hazos Naomi? Is this Naomi? Uba bekriya mekutasu, in this abbreviated comment. Mekupel kol oimek atragedish Naomi. You have the entire tragedy of Naomi. Mechol oimek hishtamusim zozon shavislechem. And the shock and the astonishment of the people of Eslechem, Limara Isha Niva Shvur Shalom, said when they looked at this poor broken woman that comes back from Stei Moav, Kol Hashelos Chazal Zaladas Klus B'Tmiyazis, all the questions that could, everything that the people could possibly ask are included. Yetzer Pishon Shvachol Gnai, it has positive and negative connotations, and all of it is true, all of it is included. Some of them say, yeah, she got what she deserved. Look at what happens to a person who leaves their country when things are difficult and doesn't care for the poor people. Now when things are good, she comes back. She deserves it. This is what she gets. This is what happens to a person who betrays his people and is only there when it's good for her. Others, they don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have a trouble. Like Iov. Hazos Naomi. Can a person suffer? Does a person need to suffer so much destruction? People would use her jewelry. Her jewelry was the most beautiful jewelry. Is this Naomi that shone brighter than gold? This Naomi was such a nice and pleasant person. And this can happen to a person like that. Why so much punishment? So people were giving her right. They were saying, you know, God was a little overly harsh with her. What did Naomi respond? She says, Shekorli Naomi. People were wrong in assuming that I'm a good person. Mara nibativi, I'm not a good person, I'm a bitter person. And I got what I deserved. That's what she says. Chazal says an extraordinary mashal. Vakapara Amavakara says it's a mashal lepara had yoitis shemidu balea bishuk. There was a cow being sold in the marketplace. Omar, and he was advertising her. Radion is he. She plows wonderfully. Umashra tlomim tlomim. She makes extremely well laid out furrows. Amrin. So people told him, in Radionis, if she is actually such a great plow, ilin makuset ispe ma'inun, where are these? I see the scars on her back where she's been whipped. If she's such a great cow, why has she been whipped? Kach omronomi. Those were the words that Naomi said about herself. That was the thought and idea. Per ona sheboilai meidos bi shema olam lohisanei Naomi. The suffering that I have shows the truth that I never was Naomi. Shelohisanei Naomi. If I really was a good person, legati lemashe gati, I would never have gotten to where I got to. V'sovin chel chelaso, and my and what happened to me just shows where I was all along. And then she says, "Ani melei alach rechashvan Hashem. I left full, and I returned empty." Lefi, he says, "Shebi yosim lei halachti." It's because I left when I was full. In other words, when I had everything, that's what God returned me reikom. Hakol hoyle, I had everything. Gedulah, kavod, oisha. My husband was destined to be king. My children were of Ephras. And I had a reputation, a name, and a standing that no one else had. Everything is gone. My husband and children are buried in a geisha land. And I am a lonely and trampled woman. Bizman shoyisi meleya higashik nirshatzmi. When I was full, I felt all I did was felt my own pleasantness, my own good. Ve'achshav gam argish es hamar shachem. I now will begin to feel the bitterness of others. Vashem onabi, Hashem samani eda. Kadosh Baruch Hu made me bear testimony. Sheish ein sefir that there's hashkacha v'nogalam v'mishpatim ha'adam, and he actually deals right with people, gives them the desserts. Ki primal of Yochel, a person eats what he prepared. Ubemilim elu yesh gamin erchama, and there is some element of comfort in these words. He misnachemes bezeh shelefachas zochsei deisureh shakol yikul misman. She says, at least people can learn from me that there's good and bad in the world, and that there's an eye that sees everything and deals with everything. And that's why she asks, "Krenili Mara, call me Mara, be honest, Kadesha Malis Tafkidi, I shall be able to fulfill the function, Ushmi Yoyaj Hashemu Tzadik, and my name will be a testimony that God is right." Chavosa shall know me, Efa Vida Golashallah, Bitsirikadin Shallah. Nomi's reply is a great vidui of hers. It's her confession and her tzirikadin. Umashetanu Reyav Shal Iov, what Iov's friends said about him, to Enes Nomi Latzma, Nomi says herself about herself openly, Biha Ovid, I'm at fault. Vikanan Arayim Stilasa Musa Shal Nomi. And here we see the greatness of Nomi. Sheish Iov Lo Sermeleo. And that's the difference between Iov and Nomi. And that's why we have such a big difference between the two in terms of the result of it. Iov suffered, but what happens? He gets back what he was missing, and his own personal life is gets redeemed. But humanity, he left over with the same suffering. He never was able to impact. He didn't give us the tools for dealing and recognizing. Naomi's Yisurim gave the world the final wheel to the Merkava, which is David, Avi Mashiach, and this became the wheel of redemption. This became the foundation of redemption of the world. So we have here the Naomi's greatness lies in the fact that she recognized what had transpired. She understood it, and by rising and taking responsibility for her wrongdoings and demonstrating it, she gave the world the keys for redemption, which David came from her. It's fascinating that Yehuda, from whom David HaMelech comes, is a few generations before this, Chazal say his greatness lies in a hod of lavosh, in that he admitted he was moda, and that he did wrong, and he did not, and he wasn't embarrassed of it. The ability to recognize the world's woes as being p- part of the internal problem of the world. It's not what God had wrought, but what man had wrought, is the beginning of redemption. When we know what we did wrong, we can now do right. So the Megillah and Chazal open our eyes to the journey of two great women. It's really, these are the two women that Klal Yisrael is built on. And in a sense, the final redemption, the world is built on. One woman was able to leave the splendor and glory of an empty life because she saw the emes and came to it. And that's Rus, who's the mother of all of those that would come from afar and recognize the emes. Naomi was the person who could see her shortcomings through the perspective of her suffering, understand that everything in the world that is wrong, it's our doing, and it's begging to be rectified. Hashem doesn't need us to confess just to be kind of contrite and humble because he wants to get the last word in. That's not, that's a human, that's an extremely human trait. That's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be able to use the feedback mechanism of pain to understand what's wrong. It's like when we have an illness, we can try to take a pill for the pain, but then we don't really have a lead as to what's causing the pain. When we're able to be honest, to be hodav lavosh, to be able to say, I'm not a hazos naomi, and she says, I'll tikkun naomi, that what you see from me is some flaw that has overtaken me. That's the beginning of the ability to rectify it. When you understand fully where you're wrong and what's wrong, you're now capable of doing right. And it's these two pillars, the one that's capable of seeing the emes from afar and pay whatever price needs to be paid, and the one that's capable of introspecting and seeing the wrong for what it is and giving us the key for returning and rectifying. Those are the two pillars of Geula that produce, these two great women are the pillars of Geula that produced Dovra Melech, who will become a Sheikh Yisrael, redeem Klal Yisrael, bring back Klal Yisrael, and eventually the world to the good that it was.